I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? A big leap in self-awareness and self-knowledge for me over the last decade or so that's made me more mindful and in turn boundaried is recognizing that I tend to over-predict negative consequences. Being honest with myself about real and imagined and even outdated consequences taught me that it isn't, in fact, worth avoiding conflict, criticism, boundaries, saying no, rejection 100% of the time for what is probably the 5% of occasions that meet or exceed my predictions. Of course, I still experience discomfort, and this is something I've given a lot of thought to while I've been working on my book, The Joy of Saying No. And it occurred to me that we're often afraid of the consequences of, for instance, saying no, of having boundaries, not actually of saying no or having boundaries in and of themselves. Unless we're a child right now, we grow up in what I call the age of obedience, which is where the parenting, communicating, and interacting with children centered on obedience. It was all about teaching children unconditional compliance. Follow this rule, do this particular thing, or else you're going to get into trouble. Or obey the rules, and you will be a good person, and you will become successful. It was often tricky to be obedient and honest at the same time because expressing ourselves, being ourselves, could be interpreted as being disobedient and disrespectful. And it's not as if we could express what our needs, desires, expectations, feelings, and opinions might be so that we could gain the emotional intelligence to understand ourselves and our environment. So for a long time, I struggled with honesty, even though I value honesty and authenticity, because I received confusing messages. Tell the truth and you won't get into trouble. It's really important to tell the truth. So I told the truth and I got into trouble. I'm getting cussed out, I'm getting a beating, something's going down. Or it's like you're honest about your observation or experience, or you're honest in response to the question that you're asked, and then you're told that you're rude, ungrateful, difficult, that you're upsetting people, or whatever you say isn't believed or supported. So then it became that I believed that something terrible happens if you're too honest, and that actually people can't be trusted, not just with your honesty, but with your real self. It was like they'll crap all over it or they'll leave. But the trouble that I and others feared and still fear getting into wasn't actually the consequence of not following the rule, of doing or not doing the particular thing. The trouble was the consequence of not obeying that particular person. The trouble was the consequence of the other person's baggage, including how they were triggered around disobedience and their own fear of negative consequences, real and exaggerated. The trouble we experienced was often about that person not really knowing what they were doing or parroting and repeating stuff without understanding the why. Sometimes they were throwing out these arbitrary rules. They were just saying stuff like, it's because I said so. And there wasn't really real meaning, real true intent behind it. And that's understandable because they also grew up in the age of obedience. There's a big difference between the consequence of not doing a particular thing and disobeying the person in question. But we feel, think, behave, and choose as if they're one and the same thing. The truth is, the sky didn't fall down if we didn't clean our room. We know this because, for instance, if we don't clean our room right now, we are actually okay. Sure, we were learning a life skill when, for instance, our parents and caregivers were teaching us about having a tidy room, but not tidying our room, for instance, in adulthood doesn't mean that we're going to have the crap beaten out of us or that our parent doesn't love us or that they're going to leave. I see this with one of my daughters who won't automatically do as she's told. And I think I've said before about how parenting really does bring you face to face with where you are lacking in empathy, tolerance, patience, compassion for yourself, including your younger self, in ways that you are not with your own children. But it can also bring up your frustrations. It can bring up your triggers. And so I hold my hands up. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, this kid is getting on my nerves because she won't just like get on with it and do what she's told. All that said though, part of this learning curve is then about understanding actual consequences. And so for instance, she's starting to gradually realize that she isn't really comfortable with being in an environment of her own making, incidentally, that has gradually become overwhelming. But she's also come to realize as well that, yeah, of course, like there are certain things that she's going to be asked to do because we're teaching her about responsibility and that life isn't always about only getting to do the things that you feel like doing in that precise moment, because it is also preparing her for the real world, but it's also preparing her for taking care of herself. We're ultimately teaching her life skills, not about how to submit to us. And there's a big difference. When we were growing up, they kept teaching these lessons of doing as we're told about pretty much everything so that we would become practiced at doing what we are told, so that we would then become a good worker and a successful human. We would become excessively prone to agreeing with and obeying others, teaching us to be obedient, to comply or else, and then attaching this, for instance, to passing exams, whether we received attention and affection, the security of our life. Physical punishment and other forms of discipline skewed our perception of consequences. It also taught us to feel afraid and compliant even when we want to do something. So I have found in myself, but also in many of the stories that people have shared, that there are plenty of instances where they actually want to do something, but everything that they ever do is associated with doing as they're told. So there's always this kind of element of fear and guilt around stuff. And it's funny, when you go on Instagram, you know, various socials, you see these sort of comedy skits about what learning was like back in the day. And, you know, I've seen ones that are particularly around, for instance, African and Caribbean parenting. And it's one where the parent is like, you have 6 apples, you take away 2, how many have you got left? And then the kid is like, 1, 8? And immediately the parent repeats the question or they get loud. And gradually they become more exasperated. And some of the skits, you'll see them pulling out the belts, you know, threatening all sorts of stuff. It's funny, but it's also oh so real, because that was often what it was like. It's like the parents became louder and exasperated rather than recognizing that the child either doesn't know the answer or has misunderstood what's being asked, or they're scared. I also think that part of the parent's response in that situation is feeling as though the child failing to answer the question correctly is disobedient, or that their child is embarrassing them and highlighting how they're not a successful parent, or how their child isn't going to become a successful worker and successful adult. And so this is where you get what is a very OTT response. But terrorizing isn't the same as teaching. It's also not the same as parenting. But actually, for some of us, that's what we experience, you know, a lot of the time or some of the time. Something that happens in situations where there has been that threat of punishment or actual punishment, where there's been quite a heightened response from the other person, is that you end up with a negative association with whatever it is. That's why a lot of people have negative associations with learning. It's why they don't like to put their hand up. It's why they don't like to volunteer. It's why they feel as if you're putting them on the spot. When you ask them what could actually be quite an innocent question at work, you know, it's not some terrible thing that they're being asked, but it's like, oh my God, well, like, why are you putting me on the spot? I feel like you're trying to put me on the spot. You're trying to catch me out. And it's like, no, it's actually, I'm literally just asking you a question. But to them, the same feelings come up from those old experiences. Constantly telling someone as well that they've got to do something or, for instance, change their outfit or avoid a particular thing because of what the neighbors or the church or everyone will think isn't actually a real consequence or even a consequence that matters. Now, I understand that biologically, us humans, right, we are very, very fearful of rejection, right? We are fearful of being a social outcast. Because do you know what? There was a time in our evolution where not going along with the herd, not doing as you're told, could result in becoming a social outcast, right? Could result in, for instance, the family not having access to crops or wealth or whatever it might be. But we're not in that situation now, but we still feel like that. At the end of the day, something that we actually come to realize when we're like, oh my God, like I have to go along with this because like, what will they think? Is people are going to think whatever they're going to think anyway. Like we're all running around trying to Jedi mind trick everybody and people are still going to think what they're going to think, feel what they're going to feel and do what they're going to do anyway. So we have to get on with the business of being us, teaching us to be obedient, you know, teaching us what were, yeah, sometimes arbitrary rules and expectations helped parents, caregivers, so-called authorities to manage and control us, to feel in control, and yes, to even manage and control themselves. But they didn't teach nuance. And I think that this is the big piece of what's missing, because if you teach people to be unconditionally obedient, to be unconditionally compliant, then they are not going to know when they need to say no, when they actually need to create a healthier boundary. So now we have this perennial fear of getting into trouble, of doing the wrong thing, of getting called out. But what is it that we think is going to happen? Who are we going to get into trouble with? What are the real consequences? It's down to us to update what we've learned, to question what we're carrying. It's also about recognizing, though, where we're maxed out on obedience and how that might cause us to attempt to make up for lost time while inadvertently sabotaging ourselves. So, for instance, we might recognize how much we were controlled while growing up and how that impacted us. So now we're a grown up and it's like, ain't nobody controlling me. I'm going to do whatever the hell I like. I'm never going to say no to myself. I'm not going to have any structure. I'm not going to commit. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And it's one thing when we do these from an intentional place that lines up with our values, with our boundaries. So it lets us take care of our needs, desires, expectations, feelings, and opinions. And it's another thing when we're basically doing an up yours to the people in our past that controlled us and basically screwing ourselves over in the process. You know, something I know I've mentioned here on a podcast over the years is recognizing how my habits around procrastination and avoiding success were actually old passive aggressive habits that I used to manage my mom, because she was somebody who had like these big expectations. And I realized like if I could sort of procrastinate, I could control not her as such, but the situation as such. And also I could manage myself. But what that was doing was screwing me up. I also realized where I could be resistant to structure and committing through, for instance, planning when it came to work. And it was like, oh, there's this whole sort of feeling of I'm going to be controlled or I'm going to get into trouble for failing if I create and stick to the plan, but it doesn't turn out how I think it should or how I said it should. And I realized that actually not making the plan for those reasons was stopping me from really focusing on the things that I needed and wanted to focus on. Another way that this can show up, and I think that this reflects how we as a society are reckoning with the trauma of this age of obedience, is the pandemic. The sudden change, the lockdown, the social distancing, the guidelines, the rules, a big person coming along and saying you have to do this or that has been very triggering for a lot of people. And I think as a result of that, for some, they've hit their max. They're like, I am maxed out on obedience. I am maxed out on doing as I'm told. I am maxed out on, you know, do as you're told or else, and having to unconditionally comply. And so they're like, I'm out, I'm done. And I think that that explains where we're getting a lot of the friction over this last 20 months or so. At the end of the day, it's not about becoming a disobedient person, whatever we think that that might be. It's actually more about recognizing that we don't have to unconditionally and automatically obey anymore. It's allowing ourselves to engage in critical thinking by considering what we're being asked, or whether we need, want to, or even should do it. The critical thinking, the emotional intelligence, come from allowing us to decipher our boundaries, to read the situation and the ask, to acknowledge patterns, to distinguish arbitrary rules and expectations from genuine rules and expectations, to understand our bandwidth, to even understand our emotional baggage and how this manifests in our habits of thinking and behavior, or why we're unsettled by something or feeling resistant. Ultimately, the consequences of saying no, of having boundaries, of allowing ourselves to face the possibility of conflict, of criticism, of disappointment, of rejection, are never going to be as great as the consequences of avoiding these. Because whenever we avoid these, we're really avoiding ourselves, we're avoiding life. And that means that we don't have an intimate relationship with ourselves, and we also block us from having an intimate relationship with others. We settle for being in the half-life. We settle for constantly sort of treading water in our past, and we don't have to do that. We don't have to stick to those negative consequences. We can be the change we seek in our own life, and we can create positive consequences for ourselves by taking care of us. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, and take care of you. Thanks so much for listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. If you'd like to say hi, or you want to let me know what you thought of an episode or of the show in general, or you'd like to suggest a topic, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram. I'm at NatLue. That's NatLue. You can find links to it and my other social channels in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/242. There is a full list of episodes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast. And if you've enjoyed the show and you haven't done so already, I would love it if you could subscribe in whichever podcast player that you're listening in. And if you could take another moment to rate and review the show, that would also be fab, because it all helps with spreading the word. The Baggage Reclaim Sessions doesn't feature external advertising. So if you're enjoying what I share on here and you'd like to support, you can do so by checking out the blog. I have classes, I have courses, and I've also got my books and audio series. And you can find all of these on the main website at baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com.